I love the Lord tonight. It's a pleasure to get to serve Him. And when you have something good in your life, you'd like to share it. And I'd like to share the gospel message with you tonight. It's a message of hope and a message of victory. I'd like to start out with, have you ever thought about heaven? I think we all do from time to time. What's it going to take to get there? Maybe we ignore that fact. I'm not sure. Sometimes we might think, well, the Lord loves us all and He won't let anybody depart. But it also says that those who were covered in the blood, that's the only admittance we have. And that's fair, isn't it? The Lord shed that blood for us. And we each one have the opportunity to make it there. But we live in a society that has made salvation kind of like chocolate pudding. It's just something good to eat, something yummy. And all you have to do is name the name of Christ, and that's your admittance. But there's more to it than that. And we can rejoice in that, but the message is not going to be an easy message, but it's a good message. It's from the Lord, and He's given us some hope and some victory in Him. I've drawn on the board a crude illustration of a cross, and it's the precious cross. We live in a world that teaches a crossless salvation. But we want to apply it to the Word of God. Is that how the Lord wanted us to perform? Let's look into His Word. Let's start out with describing a cross. What is a cross? Is it something you hang on the wall? Something you have as a keychain? Something you might, people wear them as necklaces? Is that what a cross is? What was a cross? It's torture, crucifixion, instrument of death. That's what we want to concentrate on this morning, or this evening. Romans, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's more than saying, I believe in the name of Jesus. There's a cross. Yeah. You know, Jesus even imparted that. Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 24th verse. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. This message this evening is in parallel to what the message had been given this morning. Many times we think, I've done everything I know to do. I confessed my sins. I admitted my sins. I've asked the Lord for forgiveness. It stops right there. No, no, no. I left my burden there. Why should I take up a cross now? But Jesus said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Amen. The cross is an instrument of death. When Paul said, I die daily, did he say, I am dead? He said, I die daily, and our cross is our instrument to get us to heaven. 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, why? Why should we have this cross in our life? 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse tells us why. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Did you hear that? We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. When I look in the mirror, I see LaDonna. I don't see my husband. I don't see my children. I see LaDonna. But the instruction is, We shall see him because we shall be like him. How are we going to be like him unless we die daily? Matthew, the 10th chapter, emphasizes this once again, 38th verse. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The cross is an instrument of death. What's going to die? My spirit? No. My flesh.
Yes.
It's necessary. If I am going to see Jesus and be like him, I'm going to have to die daily.
Yes.
I'm going to have to put some flesh to death. And you know what flesh is going to say? It hurts. I don't want that. No, that's not required. And the Lord saying, crucify that. Put it to death. That's our instrument. That's our opportunity. That's why it's precious. How are we going to see Jesus if we're not like him? If we claim to be a child of God, we're going to have to look like him. And how's that going to happen if we're harboring things in our lives? One time, Brother Clifford, someone had asked Brother Clifford Wilson, when we get to heaven, we all have different personalities, different ideas, opinions, thoughts, things that kind of cross one another here on earth. But when we get to heaven, won't there be a special room where we all just kind of blend together and we won't have those cross-ups anymore? Brother Clifford says, we have that room here. It's called life. That's how we're going to be shaped up for heaven. It's crucifying the flesh.
Amen.
I thought of that cross. I don't like crosses. I really don't even like them hanging in my house. It looks like an instrument of death to me. Just might as well hang a machete on my wall. I don't like them. That's just a personal opinion. I'm not going to condemn anybody else. Because it reminds me of what that means. It's an instrument of death. But may we be reminded that if we're going to see Jesus, these little old things that we feel like are harmless can cost us heaven. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our opportunity here in this life is with that old cross right there. And I thank the Lord for that. Romans, the 8th chapter, tells us some more about this death. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We live in a world where that's not happening, is it? The Lord, this is what I heard one time. I walked into a room and a woman, I think, was trying to make a point. She says, the Lord loves me just like I am. And I thought, yes, but he doesn't want to leave you just like you are. And I'm thankful for that. The world is too caught up in saying, the Lord loves me like I am, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And this cross, this instrument of death, is your opportunity to gain victory in the Lord, to be like him, for you shall see him as he is. I'm glad for that. I'm glad he didn't just leave us hanging there and say, I saved you from your sins. But that's all there is to it. I've noticed his spirit, when he reveals ourselves to us and we look in the mirror and see something that's so unlike him and we're so ashamed of it, he has something called grace.
Amen.
And when you nail it to the cross, you know what those nails are? Grace nails. When you nail your problems to the cross, you fastened it there with a nail called grace. And I'm thankful for that. Not only does he let us see what the problem is, he gives us grace to take care of it. The 8th chapter and the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's his expectation for you. If you deny it, do you realize what you've said? You've said, Lord, your grace wasn't sufficient. The Lord knows his grace is sufficient.
Yes,
2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I wish I could convey to you the depth of how I feel this message. It sounds grueling. It sounds cruel. But do you know any time you're nailing your flesh to the cross, it's victory.
Yes, it is.
It's a chance to be more like him and less of me. It's precious. That's why you can call it a precious cross.
Amen.
I'm thankful, Lord, that you love me enough not to leave me as I am. You know, sometimes we experience the glorious plan of salvation, and he has wiped away forever the sins that we have committed. But do you know there are propensities that we all have? Everyone has weaknesses. And you know, when the Lord's starting to show you these things, if you don't move, it can become sin to you. You can still claim the name of Christ and be totally without his image. The Lord's wanting you to conform to his image.
Amen.
To be like him. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 8th verse. We're all familiar with Paul's struggle. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. How many times have we done that? I can't handle it anymore. I've had all I can stand. I have gone to you not once, Lord, but I've gone to you 2-3 times. Relieve me of this thorn in the flesh. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That nail that you can use on that cross is enough. It's not insufficient. It's not just barely there. It's enough. It's perfect. It fits the need. It will take care of it perfectly. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sister Doral testified this morning of how the Lord had dealt with her, even in her old age, even in those physical limitations and handicaps that she is now experiencing. And I thought to myself, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
The Lord loves you too much to leave you where you're at.
Yeah.
You want to make it to heaven? All those glorious, wonderful thoughts? You want to be like him and see him as he is? That's an incredible thing. Can you imagine? It says, give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Have you asked for that lately? You can have the mind of Christ. You can't have it unless there's some victories. And I just have 3 nails there, but really there's supposed to be a whole bunch of nails here. Lord, I nail up my times of unforgiveness. I nail my tendencies to fly off the handle. I'm nailing my problems with my tongue. You know, you can nail your tongue to the cross. You can nail it. Put it to death. And do you know what? It'll ask to come back off that cross.
That's right.
It'll give you every reason why it's okay. The Lord knows that you have a sharp tongue. He knows your personality. No. To be conformed to his image, you're going to have to nail it there. The Lord knows my weaknesses. in getting along with others. The Lord knows I don't really care for that person. Nail it. Nail it on there. Put it to death. Don't listen to its screams of agony. The Lord is wanting... Lord, I give to you my past. I nail down my past. I nail down the mistakes that I have made. Do you know you can whip yourself to death with that? You can lose so many battles over not forgetting the past. Lord, I don't know. Fill in the blanks. Do you know what all those little grace nails will turn into? What do you want to hear? Do you know heaven is real, but hell is real too? There will be a day of judgment when the Lord says, "Well done. You have proven over and over again that my grace indeed was sufficient for you. Well done." And you know what those little nails turn into? Do you know what that cross turns into? A crown. Those little nails are all the jewels in the crown.
Yes, amen.
But it doesn't come without crucifixion. It doesn't come without saying, "I need help. I've got some propensities. I've got some things I need to nail to the cross." Do you know? That's where our complete victory is.
Yes,
amen. Colossians, the third chapter. It's a life of victory. I'm thankful for that. You know, people like to think that self-discipline will take care of it all. Well, it'll go to a point, but it just can't crucify. It will not mortify my flesh.
Amen.
Only the grace of God can do that. Only my willingness to put it there. Only my willingness to see myself, to take that and put it on the cross and pound it in there and put it to death, will it be effective in my life. That's the only way. Colossians, the third chapter, and the fifth verse says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And it goes into all of those things. Mortify. Put those things to death. Completely. Wholly. So they don't breathe anymore. So they don't ask for sympathy anymore. So they don't want to be resurrected anymore. Put them to death. Put them to death. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the 8th verse. This is how serious it is. "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." There are things that are going to happen in your life that can cause you to offend. Don't sympathize with those things.
Amen.
I've thought about a man who, or a woman who've been delivered from, say, alcohol. Those places are hard places. But it's better for you not to even associate with the friends you had before.
That's right.
The world will say, "Well, you can bring them Jesus." You know, the Lord will take care of bringing them to Jesus.
That's right.
But if you have a propensity for that sin, and you have not mortified everything that surrounds it, including who you're with, who you talk to, what you talk about, you have not truly crucified that thing. If you have a propensity, now I'm not saying that you are this way, but if you have a propensity for a lustful eye, maybe you better not have a computer. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's spiritual surgery. That propensity cannot be crucified if you're petting the thing that can cause it.
That's right. Amen.
If you have a propensity to a vicious tongue. You better start crucifying the parts of your heart. Because it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
It's more than just a tongue matter.
Yes.
It's a heart matter.
Yes.
If you have a propensity for discontentment, if you have a propensity of being grouchy, that's not God's plan.
Amen.
That's not salvation in its fullness. If you have a propensity to be short with people, and you pet that and say, that's my personality, you've not truly crucified that part.
Amen.
We all have propensities. We all have areas where the devil can get us. And he knows that better than really you do. But God's grace is able to overcome everything. There's not one little asterisk that he says, well, if you look down here, there's one thing he cannot help you with. No. Do you want to see Jesus? I do. I believe every one of us here does. But do you realize it's going to take some crucifying? Do you know what? That crucifixion, when you've put flesh to the death, what lives instead? The Spirit. The Spirit is allowed to have freedom of movement within you because you've mortified the deeds of your body.
Amen.
Do you know there's freedom in that? I'm not telling you something that's too hard. I'm telling you something that's possible by His grace. I'm telling you something, it's a life of freedom. It's a life of wonder. It's a life of happiness. Do you know why? Because God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
There's not a battle you have that's too great that His grace can't take care of.
Amen.
I love the Lord. I want to serve Him all my days. That is my little message for tonight. I want you all to be encouraged. To understand the Lord loves you greater than anyone else can. And He's drawing you to Himself. And He's urging you to crucify yourself so you can be more like Him. I desire you pray for me.